And first thing I want to do is I want to recognize our veterans that are here today. Today is Veterans Day. Tomorrow is celebrated Veterans Day, but if you're a veteran and you serve, would you please stand? All right, Dr. Child, thank you. Dr. Charles, since you're the service man here today, won't you open us in a word of prayer?
Sure.
Open us in a word of prayer, please.
Father, I thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy to us. I thank you for this day, the opportunity we have of meeting together in this house of worship. And I pray that the Spirit of God will be our teacher. And I thank you for that. In Jesus'
name. Amen. Turn in your Bible to Psalm chapter 1. Very familiar passage. Very familiar.
Zoom back in.
You can read that for me.
It's freaking out. Okay. Zoom back in so you can see.
Before we go any further here, let me ask you a question about the passage you just read. Is that true?
Amen.
Amen. It's true, isn't it? Yes, it is. Well, the passage that we're going to read today is true also. But first, I'd like to ask, is there any special prayer request today? I know that Brother Meeser is feeling under the weather. Is there any other request?
Yes, I pray for Leon Lenhart that he will receive the Lord Jesus Christ.
Brother, why don't you leave some prayer? Go ahead and pray. Listen.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this time that you've given us when we can come together and hear your words and talk to us about the deal. We ask you, Heavenly Father, that you will be with the person that we visited yesterday, Dr. Adam. You'll be able to receive you as his perfect Savior. We ask you, Heavenly Father, that your will be done this morning and give Brother Bill the words to say, Lord. Faith from you, Lord, just give him the freedom to come across to be able to know that the words are coming from you. He just opened his mind and kept him with all the things he studied, Lord. We just ask you, Lord, to deal with our visitors that's here with us this morning. Bless them and help them, Lord, to receive something that will be a help to them today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, turn in your Bible to Psalm chapter 29. Psalm chapter 29. Psalm chapter 29, verse 1 says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory due his name, and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now I'd like you to turn to Psalm 96. Psalm 96. Verse 7. Psalm 96, verse 7. Psalm 96, verse 7 says, give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. All right, now I'd like you to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16, 28. And again, it says, give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. This morning, I'd like to talk a little bit about giving to the Lord. The verse in Psalm 29, verse 1 says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. We praise and worship the Lord through our giving. Now, Pastor asked me to put some slides, and I've never done slides before with a teaching of Sunday school lesson or anything, so this is my first slide, so there's a ton of them, so get ready. So, I made use of them. Verse 29:1 says, give the Lord, O ye mighty, give the Lord glory and strength. The word give is the word yahav in the Greek. The B is with a V, and it means to give, ascribe, or come. And in the Aramaic, it's yahav, and it means to give also. Yahav is used some 33 times in the qual imperative. That means this is a command to do something. This isn't a suggestion. This is saying, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Second Samuel 24:24 says, and the king said unto Arubna, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offering unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. We should never offer unto God a sacrifice or offering that costs us nothing. Everything we give to God ought to cost us something. Now, the 50 shekels here is about equal to $165 to $331.96. So that was a lot back then that he would have paid for that floor. 1A, if you take a note, give unto the Lord always that which cost me something. Malachi 3:8-10. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have you robbed thee? In tithes and offering. There was a time in my life where I robbed God. I'm being honest. I thought that he didn't need the money as much as I did. I wasn't thinking right. I wasn't walking in the Spirit. And what the thing that I found out is that God always got back his tithe and offering with interest.
Amen.
And so I thank God that through the power of the Holy Spirit now I love to give. I enjoy giving. I look forward to giving. It's just a wonderful thing. But the next verse says, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation, bringing all the tithes into my storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I want to open unto you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Matthew 6:1-4 says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. There was a church that I visited when I first went to Fort Drum, New York, and I was visiting around different churches trying to find a church. And up in the front of the church, right about where I'm at, they had an offering basket. And every row would file out of the row and come up and go back this way. And five hands, everybody come in and go. I don't think that's what God had in mind here when he talks about don't do it before men where they can see it. And it goes on and he says, therefore, when thou doest thy alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in him, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Matthew 6:1-4 again, it goes on verse 3. But when thou doest thy alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. 1b, give unto the Lord that which thou hast. The Lord wants what we have. He wants everything we have. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Give everything to Jesus, and you'll have treasures laid up in heaven. When we give ourselves to the Lord, everything we have and we give everything we have, we will follow him. When you start giving the Lord, you're going to want to follow him. Because it's just what how the Spirit works in our hearts. Once he given the Lord yourself, and also give yourself to others. In Matthew 5:42, it says, give to him that asketh of thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Matthew 10:8 says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Acts 20:35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Then finally, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 2 Corinthians 8:5, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. We should be willing to give ourselves to the Lord, but not only to the Lord, to others. We should be giving people. Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Or that word service could have worship. We're talking about worship this morning. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 2 Corinthians 9:6-7, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You say, Brother Bill, why in the world are you covering all this stuff in our church when we have such a giving church? It's just a reminder. We just need reminding and encouraging. And so this passage here, I tell you, it had stumped me for years, and I couldn't figure out what was going on in it. And I prayed, and I fasted, and prayed, and finally the Lord revealed it to me. And I just want to share it with you this morning. So it goes on. Every man, according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. What does the word, where does the word Lord from? Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Well, the word Lord comes from some Hebrew words here. The first one is Adonai. Adonai simply means Lord or my Lord. Basic meaning is Adonai, Lord or Master. Distinguished from the Hebrew word Baal, which signifies possessor or owner. Adonai basically describes the one who occupies the position of master or lord over a slave or servant. So when we call our Father Lord or Jesus our Lord, we're saying that we're the slave, we're the servant, and we acknowledge him as our master and our Lord, and we should submit and yield to him. The second term used here is Jehovah or Yahweh or Yahweh. It means the existing one. The Tetragrammaton Yahweh or Jehovah appears with its own, without its own vowels, and its exact pronunciation is debated whether it's Jehovah, Yehovah, Yahweh or Yahweh. The Hebrew text does insert the vowels for Adonai. The Jewish students and scholars read Adonai whenever they see the Tetragrammaton or Jehovah or Yehovah or Yahweh. This word is used 6,829 times. The word appears in every period of biblical Hebrew. Give unto the Lord. Who's given the Lord? O ye mighty. The English word mighty is composed of two Hebrew words. El, which means God or the Almighty God, and Bane, which means sons. So mighty equals sons of God. That's who it's talking about here, the sons of God. Now, some concordance here, they'll say it's angels that it's talking about. But as Dr. Childs taught me in college, the best concordance to use on the Bible is the Bible itself. So if we look at the other verses where it says, give unto the Lord, O ye kings of people, twice. It said that. And so it's talking about the kindreds of people here. So give unto the Lord all you might. There's Bane again. That means a son or grandson, subject nation. And then here again is Bane, Brown River Briggs. And let's see. People or nation, I got highlighted down there, but it also means children, plural, male and female. And I believe that's what he's talking about here. Biblical occurrences number over 5,550 in the Hebrew and about 22 times in the Aramaic. Sometimes the word men, which usually means son, can mean children, both male and female. I already said that, so I'm kind of repeating myself. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. 1 Chronicles 16:28. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Psalm 96:7 says exactly the same thing. The word give unto the people here is the word mispalkah, which means clan or family. And so it's saying, give unto the Lord, O ye clans or family of the people, or ye nations of the people. And then we have God, which is the word El. And there we see the El in the Hebrew up there. And it says, God, God-like one, mighty men, men of mighty ring, mighty heroes, angels, God, God, false gods, demons, demons, imaginations. And then it says, God, the true God, Jehovah. And I believe that's exactly what we're talking about here again, because of the correspondence with the other verses. And here again is L in the Strong. Again, it means specially the Almighty. I have highlighted there. So point number two, give unto the Lord glory. Now how can we give unto the Lord glory? He who gave us everything and has everything, he who is omnipresent, who is omniscient, who is omnipotent, how can we give him anything? Well, because he gave us a command here too, and what God commands us to do, he enables us to do. Give unto the Lord glory. Glory is a noun. It means praise and worship or thanksgiving offered to a deity. Praise and worship or thanksgiving offered to a deity. So the way we give glory unto the Lord is we give praise or thanksgiving and worship, and we offer that to the Lord. Psalm 9:10, it says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. So it's important that we know the name of the Lord. It says, give unto the Lord glory and strength. So we go on here, and it says, and strength. And we read earlier, in giving we give the Lord first ourselves and our strength, body, soul, and spirit to him. As in the name Bane, we build the family name, and we give the Lord glory. We give him our strength, and he has given us, we give him our strength that he has given us through thanksgiving, praise, and worship. We also can worship the Lord for his strength and attributes. We are to recognize the glorious might and to praise him for it. Psalm 29:1, give the Lord, O ye mighty. Give the Lord glory and strength. Psalm 96, give the Lord, O ye kindreds of people. Give the Lord glory and strength. Give the Lord glory, do his name. 1 Chronicles 16:28, give the Lord glory and strength. Again, so Psalm 29:2 says, give the Lord glory, do his name. So we want to give the Lord glory, but we want to give the glory that's due his name. Glory in the Hebrew means honor his name, so we're to honor his name also. So how do we honor the name? It's not just talking about the Lord God, but it's talking about the Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. It's talking about all three. So let's look at some of the names here for the Holy Spirit that we can praise and worship the Holy Spirit through. He is the Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of Christ. He is the Eternal Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of grace. He is the Spirit of glory. He is the Spirit of life. He is the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. He is the Comforter. Amen? He is the Spirit of promise. He is the Spirit of adoption. He is the Spirit of holiness. He is the Spirit of faith. And he is God. Old Testament names for God. He is Elohim, meaning God, a reference to God's power and might. He is Adonai, meaning Lord, a reference to the Lordship of God. He is Jehovah, sometimes spelled Yahweh, a reference of God's divine salvation. He is Jehovah Mekadeshim, meaning the Lord thy sanctifier. He is Jehovah Rohi, meaning the Lord is my shepherd. He is Jehovah Shema, meaning the Lord who is present. And thank God, he's always present with us. He never leaves us, he never forsakes us. He is Jehovah Rapha, meaning the Lord our healer. He is Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. He is Jehovah Jireh, meaning the Lord will provide. He is Jehovah Nisi, meaning the Lord our banner. He is Jehovah Shalom, meaning the Lord our peace. He is Jehovah Sabaoth, meaning the Lord of hosts. He is El Elyon, meaning the Lord Most High, or the Most High God. El Roi, meaning the Strong One who sees. El Shaddai, meaning the God of the mountains, or God Almighty. He is Elohim, meaning the Everlasting God. And let's talk a little bit about Jesus Christ. Who is he? He is Adam. He's the last Adam. He's the Advocate. He's the Almighty. He's the Alpha. He's the Amen. He's the Angel of the Lord. He's the Anointed. He's the Apostle. He's the Author. He's the Babe. He's the Beginning of Creation. He's the Begotten of the Father. He's the Beloved. He's the Bishop. He's Blessed. He's the Branch. He's the Brazen Serpent. He is the Bread of Life. He is the Bridegroom, the Bright Morning Star. He is the Captain, the Carpenter, the Chief Shepherd, the Child, the Christ, the Commander, the Consolation of Israel, the Cornerstone, the Day Spring from on High, the Day Star, Deliverer, Desire of Nations, Door, Door of the Sheepfold, Emmanuel, Everlasting Father, Express Image of God, Faithful Witness, First Fruits, Forerunner, Foundation, Fountain, Friend of Sinners, Gift of God, Glory of God, God, Good Samaritan, Good Shepherd, Governor, Great Shepherd, Guide, Head of the Church, Heir of all things, High Priest, Holy Child, Holy One of God, Holy One of Israel, Horn of Salvation, Jehovah, He's Jesus, He's Judge, He's King of Israel, He's the Lamb of God, He's the Lawgiver, the Light of the World, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, Lord of Lords, He is Man, He is Master, He is Mediator, He is Messiah, He is Mighty God, He is Minister, He is Nazarene, He is Only Begotten Son, He is Passover, He is Physician, He is Potentate, He is the Power of God, He is the Prince, He is the Prophet, the Propitiation, the Purifier, the Priest, the Rabbi, the Ransom, the Reaper, the Redeemer, the Refiner, the Refuge, the Resurrection, the Righteousness, the Rock, the Rod, the Root of David, the Rose of Sharon, the Sacrifice, the Savior, the Second Adam, the Seed of Abraham, the Seed of David, the Seed of Woman, Servant, Shepherd, Shiloh, Son of David, Son of God, Son of Man, His favorite name for Himself. He's the Son of Mary. He's the Son of the Most High. He's the Stone. He's the Son, S-U-N, of Righteousness. He's the Teacher. He's the True Vine. He's the Way. He's Wonderful, and He is the Word. And praise the Lord for who He is. Amen. And they that know Thy name will put their trust in Thee. And we need to know His name, and we need to practice it. We need to rehearse it, and we need to just familiarize ourselves with it. Next, we need to worship. The word worship is shakal. It's printed root. It means to depress. So when we come before the Lord, we can say we depress or we prostrate ourselves in homage or royalty to God. To bow ourselves down, to crouch, to fall down flat, to humbly beseech, to do obeisance, to do reverence, to make, to stoop, or worship. When's the last time you fell falling down flat before the Lord and worship Him? And acknowledge Him as God of God, King of kings, Lord of lords, as our Master. It's something we need to do on a daily basis. It's something we ought to work on. Again, shakal, here is to bow down, and the claw to bow down. And that's what we're talking about here, so it means to bow down. It is first found the first time in Genesis 18:2, where Abraham bowed himself toward the ground before the three messengers who announced that Sarah would have a son. Thus David bowed himself before Saul in 1 Samuel 24:8. Sometimes it is a social or economical superior to whom one bows, as when Ruth bowed to the ground before Boaz in Ruth 2:10. In a dream, Joseph saw the sheaves of his brothers bowing down before his sheaf in Genesis 37:5 and 9-10. Shekah is used of the common term for coming before God in worship, as in 1 Samuel 15:25. It says, "Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord." And then in Jeremiah 7:2 it says, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house, and proclaim there this word, and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at this gate to worship the Lord." So there that word worship is again. Sometimes it is conjunction with other Hebrew verbs for bowing down, physically followed by worship, as in Exodus 34:8, "And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped." Psalm 29:2, "Give unto the Lord glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Beauty of holiness here is a very, very important phrase. Sometimes this is taken out of context, but it's a very beautiful phrase. It's a wonderful phrase. The word beauty of holiness there means hadar, means beauty. Kodesh means holiness. It merits special comment. It appears four times in the Old Testament, and this is from the Theological Word Book of the Old Testament. It says in Psalm 29:2, 96:9, 1 Chronicles 16:29, 2 Chronicles 20:21, plus a related phrase in Psalm 110:3. Hadar Kodesh, each time in the RSV, translates couplet, holy array, with the exception of Psalm 110:3, where it opts the translation, holy mountain, reading a different text. So worship the Lord in holy array in Psalm 9:2. It should be Psalm 9:2. Think again. Psalm 29:2 there. Also in several instances, the verb hadar in Isaiah 63:1, the substantive of hadar in Psalm 104:1, and Job 40:10, and Proverbs 31:25, are conjunction with the word labus, to clothe. In Ezekiel 16:14, the word some, perhaps a reference to some kind of investiture ceremony. So, in a nutshell, I don't promote the Revised Standard Version, but most every lexicon and commentary I looked up, and have quite a few of them on the what's the name of that thing? Logos, yeah. My wife had to tell me why they have this study. But on Logos, it had tons of them, and all of them come up with holy array. And that's not to say that that's the only interpretation there, but it's certainly a best interpretation there. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The Lord only is to be worshipped, not any creature, angel, men, not Jehovah. The Father only is to be worshipped in spirit and truth, but the Son of God, the Holy Ghost also, being the same nature and possessing the same perfection, and that with both internal and external worship and true holiness, in which there is real beauty. Holiness is a beauty of God himself. He is glorious in it, and the beauty of angels, he makes them. You know what? We're going to skip this because I cut this out and didn't get cut out. All right, let's go on. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. This is generally explained as an exhortation to worship God in beautiful vestments or the accessories of a beautiful ceremony. I believe that the beauty of holiness is talking about both internal and external worship. When we come before God, we need to be pure internally. But God does care about how we dress. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. So it's talking about being filled with the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, externally to be clothed in holy attire or garments. I have the best the best we have to wear, such as suits or dresses for the ladies, suits for the men, dresses for the ladies. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Why do we wear ties and suits, guys? I think these verses here are a very good reason, because we're to dress in holy attire, in that which is set apart and sacred for the Lord. We're to come before Him. We shine our shoes, hopefully. We brush our teeth. We comb our hair. We think about coming before the Lord to worship Him. That's the reason on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, I wear suits. But sometimes you can't, because you have to come in from work and you have to wear what you have. But it's important that we wear. Oh boy, I've been going through these, haven't I? Let's see, where was I at? Right here, okay. So it's important about what we wear. Think about a bride and a groom. That's the holy ceremony, is it not? Does not the bride dress her best to come before the groom? And not the groom, but the groom. And does not the groom dress his best when he comes before the bride? Hopefully so, because it's a holy ceremony. We are the bride of Christ. Should we not, as his bride, should we not dress the best we can for him to worship him? That we worship him in spirit or in truth? 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for the Lord looketh upon the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart. This verse here sometimes is taken out of context. When it comes down and says, I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance. That man looking on the outward appearance there is one word, I am. And it simply means I. In other words, man looks with the eye. But God sees deeper. He sees what's inside. He sees the spiritual. He sees the mind and the heart of the person. He sees the inner part. So it's saying that God sees the inner part, but it's not saying that he doesn't care about the outward part. Sometimes we can get that messed up. In Job 10, verse 4 of the King James Version says, hast thou eyes of flesh, or seest thou as a man seest? And the answer is yes. And then Isaiah 55:8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. 1 Peter 3:4 says, but let it be with the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So it's important, our internal is important. It's important that we have a meek and quiet spirit before the Lord. Well, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. This is Psalm 96:9. So it says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And it says, fear before him all the earth. The fear of the Lord, it says in Proverbs, is the beginning of wisdom. And it is wisdom to fear the Lord. And when we come before the Lord, we should care about how we present ourselves. We don't need to dress for others. But you know what? When we're right on the inside, we'll be right on the outside. I spent a lot of years in the military, and I could always tell a motivated soldier by the way they would dress. If they were sloppy, if anything was off a centimeter, I could tell they didn't care. And they needed some motivation. And so it's the same thing with us as Christians. Do you care how you look and how you come before the Lord as Christians? I know we come before the Lord minute by minute in prayer. We pray without ceasing. God understands that. But I believe there's a time when we come into the house of God to worship God, that we need to worship him in holy attire, in the spirit, and in truth. Well, sing unto the Lord a new song. Why don't we turn there in our, let's turn to Psalm 96. 96 and verse 1. So sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kings of people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give the Lord glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. And then shall all the trees and the woods rejoice. Before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and his people with truth. Now turn to Psalm 29, please. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. What we're going to be talking about here is how God controls all nature. He controls everything to do with nature. So it goes on, it says, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. And from what I read, those are some tough trees. Those are harder than woodpecker lips. Those are tough. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. He picks them up with the tornadoes or the hurricanes, whatever comes in there. And he makes those trees to skip like a calf. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. He controls the lightning. He's the one that divides it. He sends it wherever it's gone. Somebody gets struck by lightning, it's the Lord saying, hello, you know. And so he's in charge. That's why I've never worried about lightning. Stood out in the rain with steel helmets on my head in the military and a metal in my hand and all over my body. It never happened. One time we went camping up on the mountains where I like to go camping, and it was supposed to have a severe thunderstorm. And several people warned us, said, you shouldn't go up there. It's not safe to go up and camp. I said, well, my Lord's in charge. You know, it didn't even rain a drop up there. There was no thunder, no lightning, nothing. God is in charge. He just takes care of us. So I wanted to ensure those that you might be afraid of the lightning or the thunder or whatever. Or you wonder why. Why the hurricanes and everything? Well, the Lord's in control. And the Lord judges. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf. When the lightning strikes, the hinds, the deer, they give the calf and they give babies. And he discovers the force. It means he removes all the force. He uncovers it. He discovers it. And in his temple does everyone speak in his glory. The Lord setteth upon the flood. He's talking about the great flood there. Yea, the Lord setteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Now, I think this is a wonderful and a great promise to us today. And I've finished here. And so I'd like us to have a word of prayer. I thought I would be going over, but I'm a little bit under. So let's have a word of prayer and dismiss. Dr. Stone, would you dismiss us this morning?